Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode. Trailblazing Texas podcast. I'm your host, Jason, as always. And today we have the biggest podcast guest collaboration, I think, that I've ever had. We have Teresa, Michael, Tammy, Laura, and Jennifer. This, to me, is the core group of the Facebook page Midland Odessa Hiking Group. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Thank you. Hi.
All right, so I'm just going to jump right in. Teresa, what was the idea? What was the reasoning for creating the hiking Facebook page?
So I used to hike alone a lot in the Guadalupes, and finally I met Mark at the Y and found out he used to hike alone a lot in the Guadalupes and Big Bend. And then we realized there's probably more people than us that have to hike alone because they don't have a friend group that necessarily hikes. Are there anybody available to hike with? So we decided to form a group so that not only can we plan hikes, but they could throw hikes out there that other people may want to join in on. So that was kind of the whole basis for it.
And how long has the group been?
Oh, I think since
2018.
Well, we started in 18, right?
Yeah, and that failed.
It was a private group. We didn't realize it was private, so we could invite people. So then we formed the public group around 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's probably pretty important.
Yeah. I think we have 7 members.
Yeah.
With us so included.
How do you guys all know each other? And the reason why I ask is, you know, really to the listeners, if you want to get information or explore the Midland, Odessa area, West Texas, this is a wonderful Facebook group to join. Everybody's really, really nice. And I know sometimes you get into groups where you ask a question or and you may not get a positive response. And then it kind of impacts you on future questions and stuff. Like, I've never asked the question. I've never seen a question asked where it wasn't treated with respect from the members, which I think says a lot. And also to our listeners, if you're a woman, the core of this group, hiking, planning trips, and, you know, all these wonderful adventures that you guys do is led by strong women. And so from a safety aspect, from a how do I get started, this is a wonderful group to get attached to. And fears, again, safety, which I think is a big thing for women. This group is led by strong women, and you have absolutely nothing to worry about.
But going back, Jason, I was just curious because Teresa said that they started with 7 members, and I haven't looked in a while, but how many members do we have now in the Midland Odessa Hiking Group?
I think it was over 1,000. I know it was like 13 the last time I checked.
Yeah.
It's always growing. And the reason why I wanted you guys on the podcast, first off, it's a wonderful Facebook page. It's a wonderful Facebook group. You can truly see, and I'm not exaggerating, the love that you guys have for each other. And you know, everybody that's on the podcast right now, I consider kind of the core members of the group and really, you know, facilitating and moving the group forward. You guys all have a wonderful relationship. And to me, it's just a reflection a lot of times of what our hiking community and backpacking community, you know, really is. It's friendship, it's trust, it's love. You know, you're with each other and some very sketchy situations, some embarrassing situations. And it, you know, really kind of brings you together. So kind of just to go back, like, how did you guys all meet? So we have the Facebook group. It started Teresa and Mark, and then Jennifer, I think you were one of the first members. And then how did it blossom into what it is now, especially just kind of focusing on you guys?
Well, we all like have different experiences. So for me, I had lived here for a while and I had liked to hike, but who was going to hike in West Texas, right? Because that's my mentality. Who was going to hike in West Texas? I was at the gym. Teresa came into one of our classes and she mentioned something about hiking to the instructor, and my ears went, wait, you hike? And she's like, yes. And it started that moment. Like, it was just that moment. I met Mark like that day, and I started working out with them, hiking with them. And that's just kind of, I mean, one conversation sparked all of it for me.
Wow. And Michael, what about you? How did you?
Well, for me,
how did you get corrupted by all these?
I know it. Yeah, I've been drafted before. But so I was like Teresa. I always hiked alone.
Yeah.
And I would hike, you know, Big Bend and a lot of other places alone. And I started posting some stuff on. I found the page just by, you know, Facebook networking or whatever.
Yeah.
I started posting some of my hikes, and then these two started pestering me to, well, you need to come hike with us. You know, you should be hiking with us, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, finally I gave in.
Yeah.
I said, I'll come. And, I mean, I love Big Bend. So I said, but you know, hiking alone is different from hiking with a group, because when you're alone, you make up your agenda. You know, and you don't have to do everything by a committee and stuff. Now, I'm kind of like skeptical, you know, well, I'll go do that just because he'll never leave me alone if I don't. And so I said, but I'm going to go the day before. So I went up the day before to do Emery Peak. And I went up Emery Peak. And on the way up, I met another one of our group who was not a member at that time, Sean Hansen, retired Green Beret. Black Hawk pilot, and being a veteran, we kind of like gelled. And so we hiked Emery Peak that day. So, and we met some people right after me and Sean hit the peak, we came down at the base of, if you know, the last part, that's a scramble there. We met a couple of guys and we sat down and had some lunch, and we got talking to them and stuff. And we spent about half an hour yakking with these guys. And so that night, I had not met them yet. I was going to meet him that night, and we met at the Starlight Theater in Terlingua, right?
Yeah.
And I never met him, but I kind of knew what they looked like from the Facebook page, you know? So they were sitting there on the porch talking to the same guys that me and Sean met at the base of the scramble. And so I come up and I go, Mike, how's this going and everything? And they're all like, you guys know each other? But this is a good example of the people that you meet on the trail.
Yeah.
On the trail, and you meet them, and you talk with them, and you spend time with them, and then you see them again. And so, you know, we all got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah.
And had dinner, and the next morning we're going to do the Lost Mine Trail. So we headed up the Lost Mine Trail. We had a member that was with us that was really older and slow, and so I kind of have become the shepherd of the group, that I will pick out the weakest hiker and I stay with them because, you know, I mean, we have accomplished hikers, Tammy and others that will just, you know, they're almost like racing to the peak, but you know, I mean, nobody wants to be left alone, especially if this is their first hike and stuff. So I will pick them out and I will stay with them. And we finally get up almost to the top, and they're over there talking to this guy. I couldn't see who it was, but somebody came over and I said, well, who are y'all talking to? And he said, I don't know, but he says he knows you. And it was Sean. So now Sean's up there and he goes, hey, Mike, how's it going? I said, they're looking at me like, do you just know everybody?
Yeah.
No, just the people that you all meet, you know?
Yeah.
That was our first meeting, our first hike together. But I mean, after that, hiking with them has been one of the joys of my life. And like you said, we're like, what?
I was just going to mention that you were the only one in the hotel that weekend, but we have brought you to our tent situation and you come tenting with us now.
Yeah.
He's not glamping anymore.
No. I'm missing the Chisos Lodge.
Yeah. So, Tammy, how did you get connected with all these?
So after Teresa, Mark created the Facebook page. I know that Teresa, Mark, and Jennifer were kind of like the dynamic trio there. And they had done a whole bunch of stuff together, but I was part of the initial group that really set the whole group off. I was on Facebook. I wanted to do a New Year's Eve hike up the peak. I thought that would be so cool. And I was reaching out to different groups, asking people's opinion. And Teresa happened to be on there. And she's like, I have a group. We hike. And so then we started private messaging each other. They had planned a Hunter's Peak. I don't remember. We hiked it in what, January? Right. Early January.
Mm-hmm. January 16th, or it was around your birthday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it was cold. But like when we got there that morning, we all got there at like 5 a.m. and we were going to start hiking at 6. And I didn't know anybody. Like Teresa shows up. I only knew her face from Facebook. I had been texting Mark because he was kind of the person kind of going it all together. And so I had never seen Mark. I had never seen anybody. So then Mark shows up, Teresa is there, and Jennifer's there. But then Gloria shows up. I have no idea who she is. Isu shows up. I have no idea who she is. Velma shows up and her friends. And that was the crazy part. None of us were from the same town. Yasu was from Austin. Letha was from Austin. Velma was from Del Rio. Me and Gloria were from Midland, Odessa. Of course, Teresa and those guys too. So I was like, how did this happen? Like, this is so cool. All of us from all over Texas in this one hike. And none of us knew each other except for Mark, Teresa, and Jennifer. We put our packs on. We took a photo.
Yeah.
And we took Bear Canyon.
Yep. Nice. Yep. Oh, wow. That's a pretty tough initial hike.
Trial by fire on that one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who can hang with us? So, Jennifer, how did you get connected with Teresa?
So, I worked with Teresa, and she kind of roped me into doing the peak. It was she's like, hey, let's do a work hike. And I'm like, okay, you know, I can't really say no to her because she's standing right there, right? But no, I really wanted to hike, and I had never, I knew of, but then I didn't know of, like, you know, the Guadalupe Mountains and Big Bend and all of that. And I've lived in Texas my whole life, so
yeah,
I didn't ever really explore any of that stuff. So she's like, well, let's just get, you know, some of the ladies at work and we'll go hike up Guadalupe. And I'm like, okay. I was all excited. And then I start researching it and I'm like, oh, I don't know.
So
but
you have to
we made it.
So you're fairly new to hiking and backpacking then.
Yeah, in a sense.
Yeah. So when you were driving to Guadalupe and you realize it's the highest peak in Texas and you start seeing the mountains out of, you know, coming through Pecos or through Van Horn, were you thinking, what in the heck am I getting myself into?
No, I kind of researched it maybe the night before.
Yeah.
But I was all for it. I kind of just roll with it.
Can I just interject real quick? I want to interject with the fact that we've done almost, Teresa and I were talking about that this weekend. We have done almost all night hikes. And so most of us have driven up at night. So we didn't drive up seeing the mountain range. You know what I mean? Man. So you don't drive up knowing the vastness of it. And then you wake up, you do the hike, you come down, and then you're like, you look back and you're like, holy crap, that was big.
Yeah. So my first trip to Guadalupe, I was with my wife and we were driving from Van Horn, and I'm just thinking, and I verbalized to her, like, we're fixing to climb the highest peak in Texas, which means it's higher than all these mountains we're passing. And I'm thinking, there's no way we're going to be able to do this. And yeah, it was a pretty tough hike. And so now how I met Teresa really kind of kicked all this off, you know, because we, you know, I've hiked with you guys before, and then there was another group that I hiked with. I took them out to the plain and then Jose's grave. So I had just bagged El Capitan Peak at Guadalupe Mountains, and Teresa, you messaged me and wanted the intel, like, kind of like, how was it? What route did we take?
That's on our list.
Yes, for sure. And so, you know, sharing that information. And then I think then you had advised that you had a Facebook group, and then I joined. That's kind of how we met. And kind of a funny story to this is to the listeners. So everybody, you know, we have Teresa, Michael, Tammy, Laura, and Jennifer on this call. And we had a few others, but we all did Davis Mountain Preserves. And I think, if I remember correctly, Henning and I, we had planned to go out there and bag Mount Baldy because I was trying to do the 10 highest peaks in Texas. And it was like number 7. And it was one of the last ones that I had to do. But I don't think like there was any kind of, hey, you guys meet us out there or anything. It's just we were going and then you guys, you know, were there. But so we parked behind you guys. And Michael, you get out of the car and you walk back to our car and we're the only two in line. And you said, is Jason in here? And I'm like, that's me. And you're like, hey, it's, you know, it's us. And yeah. I'm like, oh, cool. So when you walked back to your car, Henning looks at me and he goes, are you famous? But you know, and Henning, he's one of my really good friends. For him, he's not very vocal, and you know, for him to say that, it was probably one of the funniest moments.
Well, the conversation in our vehicle leading up to getting, we're like, who's gonna go back there? I think that's Jason. I said, who's going back there? Mike goes, I guess it's going to be me. And so he gets out of the car and he goes back and we're like, yep, it's Jason. Okay. I guess we're hiking with them today.
Later on, Tammy, you and Pete show up and then Jennifer, you show up. That was an awesome hike. A lot of great memories, especially what was the alcohol, Mike, that you bring to the peak? It's tradition, right?
The little minis of Screwball peanut butter whiskey.
Yep. I still have it.
Do you really?
Right. Yeah, right. Oh, wait, hold on. Right back in there somewhere.
Yeah. So we all imbibed in some peanut butter whiskey on the peak.
That's right. Tammy, you didn't partake?
No.
Some of us did.
Yeah. I know Henning and I did. We were trying to get extras, too.
I wanted the ribs.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, that was awesome.
That guy gave me some of those.
He outdid me.
Yeah. Did.
For the people of the podcast, the listeners, Jennifer's fame is that we'll hike and we'll get to the peak. And I swear to God, she'll pull a full pizza out of her backpack.
I heard that.
Cheeseburger or something, you know. I mean, you know, it's like there's a whole cubby of people in there in the backpack, you know, like make you know, to eat, you know. And
yeah, but like, what are the stuff? The thing is we were doing South Rim and we got to the South Rim and we were all pretty beat up.
Yeah.
And we were sitting around and everybody's pulling out their PB&J or, you know, their crackers or whatever. And we turn and look at Jennifer and she's got this pizza. That's where it started. We turned around and we're like, pizza? Like
DiGiorno pizza. Yeah. Leftover DiGiorno pizza.
I don't remember if it was Teresa, you or Laura, you guys said when we got closer to the peak is watch what she pulls out. You know, it's like everybody's waiting to see what she pulls out for her snack.
You never know.
And my peanut butter smashed and it is what it is.
Mine's a little Tupperware box, so it doesn't get smashed.
All right. So Jennifer, we kind of have an idea how long you've been hiking and backpacking. Tammy, what about you?
I've dabbled in it throughout the years, but I didn't. I've traveled all over the world, and so I've hiked here or there with my kids, just little hikes, nothing crazy. I didn't get like into it till this group.
Yeah, and then so what? About the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And Laura, what about you?
So I started like hiking. Moderate hikes in Colorado in 2017 because my daughter went to college in Colorado. And so I thought, oh yeah, I wanted to hike. I wanted to be outside. And so we would do moderate hikes. My first truly challenging hike was the night hike, Guadalupe Peak. And we did it and I was huffing and puffing. I was like, whoa, this is a lot more strenuous than I thought it was. And I haven't even like looked back at this point. I've done much tougher now, but that was my baseline. So I really started in 2017 and didn't do anything challenging until 21. Yeah. We hiked that at the beginning of May of 2021.
Okay. And Teresa, what about you?
So I'm Canadian, so I think I've hiked my whole life.
Oh, real quickly, this is a safe space for Canadians. My listeners are very accepting of other cultures and that sort of. So, you know, just don't, you know, just I want you to feel at home.
Well, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I've hiked my whole life. So, but I didn't start doing true peaks until the last few years. Like, we would just hike around bases because the Canadian Rockies are a little more jagged and a little more class three, you know. So, so I really enjoyed
you
just.
You can die.
But I definitely am a person that gets a high from a peak. So now we're going to Colorado again on September long weekend for another week. So. Yeah.
And then, Michael, what about you?
It's really interesting. Probably recreational hiking, probably about the same time, probably not till about 4 or 5 years ago. My profession as a geologist, starting out doing minerals exploration in Nevada, I mean, I was in the mountains all the time. I would live up there in tents for like 3 or 4 months, you know, but it was working. It wasn't so much recreational hiking. So really recreational hiking probably just in the last 4 or 5 years. And I think my first recreation hike, I'd been in the Guadalupe Mountains 6 or 7 times on geology field trips and things like that, because it is one of the world's foremost, maybe the world's foremost example of a reef system that is exposed. So, I mean, geologists come from all over the world to hike the Guadalupes, to study the Guadalupes as a reef system, because, you know, I mean, they can see it. So I've been in the Guadalupes a lot, but not hiking it. I mean, no, I mean, I did the peak, was my first true recreational hike. Then went on to other things, of course, you know, other hikes and other places and stuff.
Yeah, something you need to know about Mike is he measures everything against the peak, and he tells you, oh, this isn't as hard as the peak, and most of it is
lies.
Well, and one thing you find out about Guadalupe Mountains really quick, if you look at all the ways to gain elevation, Guadalupe Peak is one of the easiest. I think Tejas is harder. I think Bear Canyon's harder. I think McKittrick, to get up to the McKittrick, you know, the yeah, I think is harder. Maybe heading up Tejas from Dog Canyon is probably a little bit easier. But yeah, I mean, Guadalupe, as popular as it is, and, you know, people out, you know, and really it is a difficult, but it's kind of like one of the easier ones when you start to explore the park.
Yeah, but Mike has dementia when it comes to hikes. No, seriously, Mike has dementia when it comes to hikes, because it's like a woman who gets pregnant and has babies. Well, that wasn't so bad. So Mike and I, you know, we're hiking Kilimanjaro, and I'm up there, and I'm thinking, this is it. This is the end of my life. This is hard.
Yep.
This is tough.
And Mike, it's hard as Guadalupe.
Before we started, before I signed up, he's like, oh, it's easier than the peak. And I was like, really? There's no way this is easier. He's like, I swear to you. So Mike and I are on summit day for Kilimanjaro, and he goes, I don't know what I was thinking when I told you that, but this is not easier than the peak. And I'm like, you ass.
Hey, yeah. I mean,
it's that type two fun. It comes, you know, you forget.
I mean, you know,
you that forget. Was absolutely.
Kilimanjaro, you know. And dementia, the good thing about dementia and being old is you have a tendency to forget things, you know.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Jennifer, I got a question for you. So right now, as a new hiker, what inspires you to keep going? Outside of Teresa making you go on your first trip, what's kept you going?
Just the accomplishment of doing it, just knowing that I can do it. That's just, I think what helps me is not knowing the hike. I mean, of course you need to be prepared. You need to know, you know, the information about it, but like when we did Elbert, I never researched Elbert before. I didn't know, like we were looking at Facebook the night or the week before, you know, making sure the weather and all of that. But I didn't realize how hard it was going to be. And I just basically I was just breathing and praying the whole time up. Because yeah. I was like, I got to make it up this mountain. I got to make it up this mountain. Just the will to do it, I think.
So the drive.
We all have nothing but admiration for Jennifer. And that's it. It's just her will, her determination. She's an inspiration to all of us.
She has no quit in her at all.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, when we were doing Elbert, we were on our way up and we were told to make sure we were back down into the tree line by the time the storms come around noon. Right. And I knew that if we didn't turn around soon, we weren't going to make it back to the tree line. And I said, Jennifer, we have got to turn around because the storms are going to come up. And when lightning hits those peaks of those 14ers, it can be death, right? I'm like, no, we have to turn around. She goes, I didn't come this far to turn around. You do what you want. I'm going.
Yeah.
So I went a little further. I did not peak that day. Teresa and Jennifer did. And I did not peak that day. I just didn't have it in me. But I'm telling you, Jennifer does. I've never seen her quit.
My thought with Jennifer is this. Jennifer is somebody who her faith is what drives her. And she's, you know, I turn around because I don't have the connection, I don't think, that she has with the Lord Almighty. So I turn around and I know that Jennifer has her faith, and that is part of what makes her determined to do things, because she believes in herself and she believes in her faith, you know. And I'm kind of like, I'm getting the hell off of this mountain now. I turn around Guadalupe. I mean, you know where you make that final turn and you can see the pyramid up there. I've turned around at that point because of the thunder and the lightning. And I'm like, you know, I've been up here before. Maybe if that had been my first time, I might have braved it. But I mean, it's kind of like, this is not worth risking it because I've been there. I was chased off of the Permian Reef Trail, which is something I think nobody wants to do it. I do it. I do the Permian Reef Trail because there's a guidebook from the Texas Bureau of Economic Geology. So for me, that is, you can study the reef and you have a guidebook there and there are numbers along there. Then you can relate it back to the guidebook for, as a geologist, taking somebody up there. But it is, you get to look back on McKittrick Canyon, which you said is one of your favorite hikes.
A Permian Reef is probably my third favorite. That's an underrated trail. It's one of the best in the park for sure.
Well, I did it and there was nobody on that. I've done it a couple of times. I've never been anybody on it. It is a good trail. You've been on it then.
So Laura, what about you? What inspires you to have that type 2 fun?
I'm fairly adventurous. So if it's outside, I'm pretty much going to say yes, I'm going to try it. When my body is taxed to the limit, I can't. But like, if you want to go zip lining, you want to go whitewater rafting, I'm pretty much going to say yes, I'll try everything. And so I'm not the peak person. I don't ever care if I peak. Mm-hmm. I'm about the journey. So for me, I want to just experience the journey. And if I peak, that's great. If I make a peak, if I don't make the peak, I've had a good day and I've had a lot of laughs.
Yeah. And you're out of the house.
Turned around before. Not all of us on this podcast, but three of us together have turned around once before and just said, okay, I think we've gone far enough. Tammy, Mike, and I were doing hunters one day and we said, I think we've gone far enough. We've seen new dead sheep. We've had a good time. It's time to go back.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Teresa, what about you? What inspires you to keep going out hiking?
Yeah. So it's kind of surreal when you go hiking. I mean, it's like family with me. It's laughs all day. You just block out the noise from your life. All the stress is gone. If there's a summit, it's even better. But you get home and then it's just back to the grind. So it's just basically like a little vacation from all the stress.
Okay. And then Tammy?
I like to push myself. I like to go up to every limit. If you say it's hard and somebody, you can't do it, or you say, oh, it's really, really hard, people can't do that, I'm probably going to try it. I'm that one.
Right. Yeah.
No. And then, Michael, what has inspired you?
They call me up and tell me We're going to go do, and you're driving, and you're going to take the four, and blah, 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 and you're going to pick us up, and da, 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 da. And I'm like, all right. So, is it, am I lying?
No.
I'm thinking, we're having a nice weekend at home, and it's like, but hey, we're going, you know, and you're going to come pick us up.
No, but he doesn't tell you that he doesn't always stay on the road, does he, Teresa? No.
I'm on the road. I'm just on the wrong side, going on the wrong way.
Wrong side, in a ditch, whole thing, 70 miles an hour. Sometimes he makes his own road.
Sometimes
I'm just
the road
I keep
is
doing
awesome.
That, thinking they won't make me drive.
Yeah, and it's not working.
I'm always happy that I'm behind you, but it's scary watching you weave in and out.
Thank you. One time I followed a funny story, speaking of that, because since we're all here, that one trip we were talking about when we kicked off, and I was following you and Pete in your Jeep, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, 2 a.m. in the morning, and we're hauling down north of Van Horn, taking that lonely ass road that goes up to, to the campground. And I don't know how fast we're going, but I was right behind Pete and Tammy. And next thing I know, here come the lights on. And there's state trooper pulling me
off.
Yeah, but he passed us. He passed going the opposite direction. He was going to pull us over.
Well, anyway. Yeah.
So Michael sacrificed for you guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny about that is, so I had the windows down. Now, you were in the front seat, right?
Yes.
And Teresa was in the back seat, and the windows were down. And so this young state trooper, he's walking up the car. Now he's walking up the passenger side. Teresa's going, look pretty, Laura. Flip your hair up.
Right. He's like,
look pretty.
Come on.
Look pretty.
And I'm going, what can I do with this?
He's listening to the whole thing. You know, he comes up to the window, and he just butt off, you know. And we went through the thing, you know, and I found out I had maybe stickers on my thing, you know, and so we got talking. He's in the Air Force. We got talking and stuff. And he said, well, I asked him, I said, I was following this Jeep doing the same speed. I mean, how fast was I going? And he said, you were speeding. Now, I think they were out there. He had a partner. And I think at 2 a.m. in the morning, they were looking for contraband or looking for, you know, people. Yeah. Looking for a reason to pull anybody over, because I think if you ask them how fast you're going, they're obligated to tell you. But they just
exactly.
But I think that look pretty. We do that a lot now, you know. We're just like, look pretty. but that was a funny, funny one of the funny trips going up there.
And then he asked, "Do you have three more girls in your group going hiking?" And we said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, I pulled them over already too."
Yeah, they were.
No way.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete and I were the only ones who didn't get pulled over that day.
I know. So we pull up to the campground, and the girl that was driving, who was the driving that?
Angie.
Melissa.
Angie.
So we pull up there, and we, you know, they were there way ahead of us. And I said, hey, did you guys get pulled over? And she goes, yes, how did you know? I said, because he pulled us over too.
I've been pulled over twice, and one got a ticket and one they let me go. And I don't have hair to look pretty. So I
fluff your hair up there, Jason. Fluff it up.
And so it's funny for that question, you know, basically what inspires you. And Tammy, I think I'm exactly like you. At my age, so I'm 51, I have to have a challenge. Yeah. Like I'm diabetic and all these other things. And if I'm not challenging myself, I'm just laying in bed. And then of course, you know, that's way worse, but I want to do the impossible and see that, you know, can I do it? And I wish it was, and I guess my wife as well, she would probably wish it was, I just want to get out and hike and enjoy nature, but no, I want to do trails that break me where I have to hitchhike back to the the campground and, you know, the quad where we're bagging the four highest peaks in the park off trail. And yeah, so I'm definitely like you where I have to have a challenge.
I don't know.
Wish it wasn't, but
that trail that will break any of us, but we came pretty close on Big Hatchet.
Oh, yeah. But we all have such like, Big Hatchet. Oh,
one and done.
Yeah. Never do it again.
No. I didn't even get to peak, and that wasn't even my fault. That was my fault.
You didn't peak? I'm surprised you didn't.
No.
You didn't leave his ass back.
We got there, and
I had done it before. In fact, I had peaked it before, and that's where Laura almost. But she grew.
Sean was in charge.
She grew that day. She grew as a hiker that day in her confidence and stuff, and she came out of that hike, like you say, a challenging hike, the one you think is going to break you, and you do it, and you get so much confidence and become so. You grew that day.
Yeah, but the reason, Tammy, that y'all didn't is because, honestly, Sean that was with us was amazing at reading the topo map.
Yeah, not so much Casey.
Not so much Casey.
Yeah, no. See, when we did it, well, when they did it, they stayed on the trail.
So when we did it, we bypassed the trail.
And we did. And we're literally... like scrambling up the side, and I'm thinking, wow, Laura and Teresa and Mike and all these guys did this and they didn't complain or nothing about this. And I was thinking, wow, that is so cool. And because in my mind I'm thinking, wow, this is hard.
But here's a good message. Here's a good message for the people who listen to the podcast.
All right.
You know, I see questions here about, you know, what's important and what's not. Now, I have done the peak. And with these two, and we stayed on the trail. We knew where the trail was. I had a paper map. I knew where the trail was. But Casey, you always get that alpha male. And Casey was a recon veteran Marine, 8 years in the Marine Force, in the Marines as a recon guy. And so when we got off trail and we're hiking up this way, and I'm looking over there going like, I remember last time when we peaked, we went right by that outcrop there because we had a couple other geologists and we were talking about that. And I started thinking, well, then I started doubting myself because I'm following, you know, a recon guy. That recon guy got us so damn lost that by the time we got to where we were, we could not have peaked in daylight. And we weren't scared to hike at night. And
hold I knew at some point
that we were not on that trail. And yet I learned that day to speak up.
He got you lost on the Guadalupe Peak trail?
No. This is in the Big Hatchet Mountains.
Oh, okay. I was about to say,
no, you can't get off of Guadalupe.
Well, I've seen people that have, so I was, Yeah.
But I mean, I think the message there was, when you know that you're off trail, speak up.
I was trusting y'all.
I know. And I
was like a little soldier following along.
But yeah, I didn't take the paper maps up. I didn't take the paper maps up and stuff because I felt confident that I knew the trail.
We got up there and then we did peak. We hit a peak. And then Casey looks over and he goes, ooh, we still got to go over that way down that saddle. And then we got to climb that mountain over there. And I was like, what?
Oh, man.
So, I mean, it was, yeah.
So, Henning's a Marine. He was a Marine sniper. And by default, he does all our land nav. So, when we did the quad, but I have a little trick. I let him go ahead of me, like, by a great distance. So, if we get cliffed out, he has to hike back and I don't. So, I just take part of the benefits of the right path. Yeah. And then if there's any cliff outs, then he has to hike back to me.
Strategy right there. Yeah.
Heck yeah. So Jennifer, currently, do you find yourself hiking with family, solo, friends? What's the majority of your hiking?
It would probably be with a group. I don't ever want to, I've only done one hike that was by myself, and that was at Palo Duro Canyon. It was an easy little like 1 mile hike. But it was so hot that day that I was like, I'm not doing this ever again. But with my schedule, it's so hard for me to do anything right now. But usually I'm with the group. I try not to ever do anything other than with the group.
And when you find yourself that one solo time, do you have anxiety? Like, oh, I'm by myself. And
no, because
it's that faith.
It was an easy hike, though. It was just for me, it was just to get out of the house. Like, I just needed to get out. And I was, yeah. it, it was, it was with my brother and them. They didn't want to go. So I'm like, I'm just going to go, you know. Yeah. I drove about an hour and a half to the hike place and I just went.
Teresa, yeah. What about you? Oh, go ahead, Michael.
We actually have what we call the Jennifer factor. We do.
The Jennifer factor.
Jennifer factor. Like last time we went to the Davis Mountains for a photo shoot and stuff. I mean, it was forecast, just blasting rain and stuff. And the Jennifer factor shows up, you know. So we're there and I had left the lights on in my 4Runner. It went dead. Within 10 minutes, these ranchers show up and they go running. The rain came, but it wasn't until 10 minutes after we were done doing everything that we wanted to do. And we just call it Jennifer factor. I mean, if you're with Jennifer, you will.
It's all going to work out.
Protected. It's like she has this connection, you know, and she just wills it.
Perfect
she
weather.
She manifests the weather. She manifests ranchers showing up to start your car.
Man.
Hilarious story, because the girls are all dressed up in costumes and they saw this rancher pull up to this gate with these two hands. Now they're sitting there and two of the girls, Teresa and this other girl, go running down the highway and they're in this weird ass costume. And to hear him say it, he looks up and he sees these two women in costumes running down the highway. And he looks over at his buddies and he said, this could only happen in a movie.
He's like, lucky day.
To speak to that Jennifer effect. So it's a funny story. Me and Teresa were going up Elbert. And she goes like three times. She's like, I don't know. I think we need to go back. And so I'm literally looking around. I mean, you can see in my pictures, there's storm clouds. All around us. And I'm like, no, Teresa, we can make it up this mountain. Like, I believe it. We're going to make it up this mountain. And sure enough, we did. And then we came down and then like I was walking in the wood area and it was snowing. And I was like, but the whole thing is like, I was praying. I was trying to breathe and I was praying the whole time. I was like, please, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength to do this because I'm like, I can't do this. And I mean, just, for me, it was just the beauty to be out there to see that and like trusting.
Yeah,
God
in Colorado, you don't want to mess around. Yeah, it's it's not a.
We made it up there, though.
Yeah.
Only after lunch, too. It was about 1:00.
So, Teresa, what about you? And, to me, this is kind of a dumb question because I know all you guys. Like, you guys hike a lot together. Yeah. And I don't know that you do hike solo, you know, without somebody here on this call being with you guys. But so what do you find yourself the majority of the time?
I hike with the group all the time. I used to hike alone and I was not really that nervous, but the older I'm getting and just knowing what kind of things can happen now, I prefer to hike with the group. Yeah. I would hike alone on smaller trails, but if I'm going to do a peak, I want a group.
Okay. Laura.
Yeah. The only time I've ever hiked alone was in Colorado, just around Red Rocks. And if you know Red Rocks, it's an amphitheater, right? And there's people around. So that's my solitude when my daughter was in college for those 4 years, when I would go visit her, because it was only 30 minutes from her dorm or, you know, her apartment. I would just go, I got to go to Red Rocks. And she would go, I'll see you later, Mom. And so I would do that then, but that's been it. I literally will not hike alone. I don't find the joy in being alone like I do with people, because for me, once again, it's about the journey. It's about the laughter. It's about the relationships that are formed. That's something that we've all talked about. There's relationships on a trail are different than relationships for me anywhere else. They're so intense because you only have those people on the side of that mountain. That's it. I mean, you don't have anyone else. So it's very deep and intense for me.
To me though, Jason, I mean, hiking alone, I love hiking alone. And I think the reason is, I mean, everybody hikes for different purposes and different reasons. And I think when I was hiking alone, I enjoyed it because it's an opportunity the silence is almost deafening.
Yeah.
When you're with a group of people, there's always banter and there's chatter. You know, I can hear Laura from a half a mile away. But when you're hiking alone, yes, there's anxiety and you're more aware because you know if something happens. When you're hiking with a group of people, there's always going to be somebody. There's going to be help. There's going to be, when you're hiking alone, you're always concerned about safety. You're concerned you would do things. You wouldn't do things perhaps you would hike with a group of people. But it also, if you're going there to escape, you know, the din and the hum and the constant white noise of the city and stuff, you know, I mean, it's really an awesome experience to go and sit on a cliffside. You have to deal with the voices in your head. And that's why you're there. You know, you have to come to face with yourself and talk to yourself and deal with yourself. There's pros to it. There's cons to it. I like sometimes just being able to make up my own itinerary. You know, I'll go to Big Bend and I won't have an itinerary. I wake up in the morning and I'll go like, what am I going to hike today? You know,
yeah,
I think I'm going to go do this. And you don't have to have a committee and go like, well, I want to do this. No, I want to do that. I want to do that. Nobody wants to hike mine. I like the Chimneys Trail. I mean, I hike the Chimneys buck naked, you know, because there's nobody on it. You know, maybe that's why they don't want to do the Chimneys Trail. But, you know, I mean, there's Maravillas Trail. There are trails that are very remote that I've hiked alone. But you do have that trepidation that if something happens to me. But, I mean, I'll take paper maps. I'll take GPS. I took a sat phone once, satellite phone, and people say, aren't you afraid of hiking alone? I'm like, no, not really, because I think most of the people, if you look at most of the people who die out on the trail when they're hiking alone, were not prepared.
No, I would agree.
They didn't have the common sense and they were not prepared to hike. They were not experienced enough to know redundancy will save your life, you know. And so if you have confidence to hike alone, then, you know, there's still that anxiety, but that the risk is part of the excitement of hiking.
Yeah. And what's amazing when you start really researching, you know, these horrific stories and the first decision that these people make is probably the most important decision because it sets the tone. And you make the first decision, a wrong decision. Now you're just, and they did a study on that. And it's, the name of the book, I think is When You Find My Body, and it was about an AT through hiker called Inchworm. She was like in her 60s hiking the Appalachian Trail, and her husband would drop her off and then he'd go to the next town and then meet her. And you know, she stepped off the trail to use the restroom, got lost, and then, you know, they found her 5 years later, and she was 40 minutes from the trail, and, you know, and she's journaling. And she built a fire and then she was worried that it would get out of control. So she put it out, and, you know, just some of these things she put, like this reflective, Mylar type stuff that she had. She put it out, but it was under a tree, and, you know, it was just kind of like one thing after another. It's pretty fascinating. And I think in that book, it talks about the very first of it is, you know, the studies that they've done on this kind of stuff. And it's, you know, every time we step on the trail, it's no joke.
I have an $800 Garmin GPS, and it's got an SOS button on the side. And if I hit that SOS button, they'll text me and ask me if I'm okay. I pay for the insurance for a helicopter to come get my butt. That costs money, but not everybody rescues. In Guadalupe, they'll come rescue you, and it doesn't cost you anything, but that's not the same everywhere. I mean, if you get a helicopter there, you could get a $7,000 or $8,000 bill. So for peace of mind, you're hiking alone, spend the money.
Yeah.
Worth the money is how much is your life worth? If something happens, you know, do everything that you can possibly do to save yourself. If it costs money for a top line GPS with an SOS, and not the in-reach system. I mean, not all of them. You can get one for $300, which is an in-reach that you press it. And if you know, they'll come find you and they'll save you.
Yeah, there's a through hiker, Dixie. She had heart troubles and she had to be helicopter rescued, and it was over $60,000. And she
where was
she? I don't remember where she was. she had the Garmin InReach insurance, and she had it on auto renew. And she's like, you know, whenever I got this bill, I started thinking, like, I know I used to have it. And luckily she had it on auto renew. So she was able to, she submitted, the claim against the insurance. Yeah. I never listened to any other episodes, what was paid and what was not, but yeah, it's no joke.
Their typical insurance is $10,000.
Yeah.
Which is what you get insured for. And I think most rescues, I don't know where she would have been for $60,000. But yep.
I'll send you the link. And she recorded from the time she was rescued, like through that whole process. And, once she clicked the SOS, and then how she interviewed her mom, because their mom was the person that they called, and they couldn't give details. They just said, we know your daughter, clicked on the SOS. And so her mom is crying during this interview. It's a pretty incredible story, really, just to understand what happens when you do click the SOS.
You can set your GPSs off to ping somebody, send a location to a friend or something at midnight every night. So, if you're on the other end, they're out there, and you look at their location, then the next day you look at their location, and they haven't gone anywhere.
That's how they found this guy's body on Long's Peak in Colorado. Yeah,
get yourself concerned. And then after 2 days and they haven't gone anywhere, that's when you need to call somebody and say, hey, I think this person needs help. Yeah. So, just something that for if you're out there by yourself, take the time, spend the money, save your life, get the equipment, do what you can.
Yeah, I think at least let somebody know your itinerary and stick to it. That's kind of my big safety tip is never, and don't change it. If you don't have confirmation that they know you're changing it, and then it's kind of free, right? Like you don't need to pay for anything.
I can text off the GPS. If I'm going to change my itinerary, I could text the person that is watching out after me, my shepherd, and say, hey, I've decided that I'm going to go this way and stuff. I'll let you know. Yeah.
All right, Tammy, what about you? Hiking now, family, friends, solo. And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today, and stay tuned for our next episode where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.